Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. If the seemingly endless news about strife overseas, divisiveness in the nation, and life's daily stresses have you reaching for the bottle, well, let's assess public potent potable predilections with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Well, first off, what percent of American adults say they drink?
64%, Dave, and the way we ask it actually goes way back to the Depression. Dr. George Gallup first asked Americans this way: do you have occasion to use beer, wine, or liquor, or are you a total abstainer? Those are the words that he used, and we still use those words, and 36% of Americans today are total abstainers, and about two-thirds, 64%, are drinkers.
Now, among that drinker category, do you break it down between drinking every day, an occasional drink?
We do, and we find that about two-thirds of those are in the 40% say they've had a drink within the last week. So of those drinkers, about a third would tell us that it's only on special occasions that they have a drink. So I would say in the 40% range of Americans are more systematic or regular drinkers.
And of those systematic or regular drinkers, what are they drinking?
We have asked beer, wine, or liquor many, many times over the years. Your favorite beverage of choice? Beer wins. 41% are beer drinkers. That's their first choice. 37% wine, 23% liquor. That's about where it's been in recent years. It varies a little over time. Beer actually used to be somewhat higher. But Dave, there are, as you might imagine, big demographic differences in your beverage of choice. For example, by age, what would you guess?
I would conjecture that the younger you are, the more your preference tilts toward beer.
Well, that's absolutely right. 18 to 29-year-olds who drink. And by the way, 18, 19, and 20-year-olds shouldn't be drinking because that's illegal. But nevertheless, we put 18 to 29s together. 48% beverage of choice, beer. 18% wine. And believe it or not, 30% liquor. That's unusual. But a lot of these young people are telling us that their beverage choice is liquor. Now, as you get older, the preference for beer goes down, and the preference for wine, vino, goes up. It's only 18% of young people say wine's their favorite beverage. When you get to 65-plus in the senior range, that's the number one choice, 43% prefer wine.
Any difference by gender?
There is, naturally. If you've watched NFL football broadcast and seen the advertisements, so that's a male audience, you understand men are much more likely to drink beer. 57% of male drinkers say beer is their beverage of choice. Among women, 46% wine, and only 24% prefer beer. So it's a huge difference there for men beer, women wine.
Now, this month marks the 30th anniversary of the National Minimum Drinking Act, raising the age to 21 across the country. I suppose those 18, 19, and 20-year-olds would prefer it to be dropped down to 18 or perhaps even lower.
Well, overall, only 25% of Americans would like to have the drinking age brought back down to 18. And it's a really serious issue because a lot of people look at the data and say, actually, if you lowered the drinking age, Dave, you would have fewer problems with drinking because a lot of teenagers in those 18, 19, and 20 are having to drink illegally. And if they could drink publicly, they might not binge drink as much, and it might not be as much of a problem. But 18 to 29s are just slightly above average in general in saying that they favor lowering the drinking age. So it doesn't look like it's a big age distinction. In fact, no matter how we look at the data, there's no group that really is overwhelmingly in favor of raising the drinking age. So at least based on public opinion, I wouldn't say that that momentum towards changing that law that you mentioned that was passed back in 1984 is going to go very far. Right now, there's just not a lot of public interest in it.
Let's move on from drinking to smoking. Tell us about who's smoking in the United States today.
The biggest predictor of smoking is education, which is interesting. 27% of high school or less educated Americans smoke. And by the way, the average is about 19 or 20%. But if you have a postgraduate degree, only 6% smoke. And the same relationship holds for income. So socioeconomic status is a major predictor of smoking. If you're listening to this and have a PhD or a medical degree and you're smoking, you're in the decided minority. Most smokers tend to skew downscale.
Frank, how does it break down by ethnic origin?
Ethnic origin is interesting. The least likely ethnic group of all to smoke are Asians. Only 9% of Americans who identify as Asians, and this is based on a review of our data that we have for all of last year, hundreds of thousands of interviews, only 9% of Asians say that they smoke. Whites and Hispanics, about average. African Americans, slightly above average in smoking based on those data from last year.
Frank, I presume most smokers say they'd like to quit.
They do, but it's not as high as we have seen. 67% of smokers in our most recent update, which we just completed a few days ago, of smokers say they would like to quit, but that's been as high as 81% a few years back who say they would like to quit. We first started asking that back in 1977. It was about the same as now. About two-thirds of smokers say they would like to quit. So we have about a third of smokers who, even though they recognize based on other data that it's not good for their health, still say, hey, I'm a smoker and I'm happy with it and I really don't want to quit.
Maybe they need an external boost. I'm wondering about price point, and specifically with Harrisburg mulling a $2 per pack smoking tax in Philadelphia, to what extent does an increased price act as a deterrent?
Not as much as one might think. Now, people look at the correlational data and say in states where there are higher taxes and based on other evidence on cigarettes, it looks like it may have an impact on decreasing the smoking rate. But when we ask smokers directly, do increases in the tax on a pack of cigarettes make you less likely to want to smoke or to actually not smoke? Only 26% say yes. So that leaves 7 out of 10 smokers who say, forget it. You can raise taxes all you want. It's still not going to keep me from smoking.
So that's when you ask smokers directly, but I'm wondering if it acts as a deterrent for those who are considering taking up the habit.
Ah, that's an excellent question. We don't ask non-smokers if they're less likely to want to start smoking because it's going to be $10 or $12 a pack or something, so we don't know, but that's a good question.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.